Hey, Eric.
You interrupted me. Welcome to the Running Mullet.
Hey, Eric.
This is Eric Idiot Runner Kosek, and this is Grace Langhine, who's apparently always tired.
You know, I sometimes get a little tired, and then I have to take a little nappy nap, and then I'm ready to go for the show, and now I'm ready to go.
Well, you could just take a nap right now. I don't care. I can do it.
Okay.
I'm confident enough now.
You got this?
That I think I got this.
You got this? You don't need any support?
This is my comfortable way of telling you that.
This is it. You don't want me on the show anymore.
Well, you said it. You said it.
It only took you a couple of years.
Yeah, 125 episodes. I don't know. No, I don't know anybody else. You know, it's like you're my only friend. Yeah. Speaking of friends, I think we're friends, aren't we? Or I don't know.
We are definitely friends.
I got a question for you that I need to know the answer to.
Okay.
What's your favorite fruit? Have I asked you this before?
Ooh, I don't think so. We might have talked about it because I have a hard time with this question because I love all the fruits. I just love
them. I remember this. We have. I don't know. I just got done a bowl of delicious cut up watermelon. Mm-hmm. It was a good freaking watermelon.
Yeah.
And when it's hot like this in the summertime, man, it hits a spot, Grace.
It does hit the spot. It's so good. I like a good Bing cherry and strawberries. Strawberries.
That's about the answer I would expect from somebody of your stature.
What is that? Snowsberries? The stature of a snowsberry.
Can you please stop? All right. Welcome, Grace. Happy Monday for the 125th week of me having to see your face on a computer screen.
Yeah. You're welcome.
How was your weekend? Now, I don't care. Let's do the intro.
True. Got it. Yeah, let's do that.
All right. We're going to do the intro. Grace, listen up. Mm-hmm. Grace, our guest tonight just ran Ouray 100 and actually managed to finish and even stay alive. Let's talk about all 40,000 feet of gain and fun on episode 125.
I'm Eric Idiot Runner Kosek.
And I'm Grace Hot Pants Langhine. Eric is all business in the front of the pack, and I am all about the party in the back.
That's right, business up front and party in the back. Together, we are the Running Mullet.
And we are going to talk about every aspect of running, the podium to the DNF and everything in between.
If you are a runner, this show is for you. Now sit back, get out your foam roller, and enjoy the party.
All right, first I got a backspace. It's Ouray. It is Ouray. That's what I've been told. But my brain can't comprehend Ouray. When I see O-U-R-A-Y, I say Ouray.
Yeah.
We'll ask our guest Samantha what her...
It's just like when I see your name, I think Kosek. Kosek. Yeah. Kosek.
Well, that's the way it's supposed to be pronounced.
Kosek.
Mm-hmm. All I see is gray in your name, you know, bland gray.
That's definitely me. All my friends describe me as bland. Good at this.
Ouray 100. Dumb. It's Ouray. Anyway, how was your weekend?
Weekend was good. Did the impossible mile. Super fun.
Was it possible?
No. It wasn't. I was starting to get a little dizzy with the heat. And so I did some modifying. So I got to do it again now. I got to do it again.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Cool. It was a nice weekend.
Yeah. What'd you do?
Went swimming on Saturday down at Pine Creek. Below Blackwell, it's going to be a busy spot next weekend.
Yeah.
Ran. I mean, nothing really crazy here.
Fun. I started packing for Eastern States already. Did you start packing?
No, I don't do that. That'll be a Friday morning thing.
Leaving. Yeah. It's a long drive for me, so I gotta.
Yeah, good. I'm excited about it. Before I forget, I'm pretty confident that next week's show will be a pregame for Eastern States.
Let's do it.
Yeah. So we'll tell you all the cheat codes, all the secrets to get you to the finish, which we have none of. You have to do it yourself.
Yep.
All the little things that you need to know to be successful, which aren't any because you create your own success. Mm-hmm. Oh, I like that. Did I just make an amazing quote? You create your own success.
Sure.
Let's go with that. I bet no one's said that before.
Probably no one ever has until you.
Yeah.
We'll also, I think, divulge some secrets on how to win the Friday games.
What Friday?
There's going to be Friday games.
Like at check-in?
Yeah.
Says who?
Says me.
Oh, my. Anywho, good. Have fun with that. Are you doing your silly best crew thing again?
It's not best crews for anybody.
Yeah, but your challenge of you being the best crew and people.
That's not what this is. I am hosting some games.
That's fine. I'm not comparing it to the games. I'm asking you if you're playing. Are you doing the same challenge as ever where you're inviting any crews to battle you in the best crew?
That's not what I'm doing.
That bridge has sailed or that. Whatever.
I've got other things to do. That was last year. This year.
Don't get an attitude.
This year, I'm hosting some games. I'm hosting some games Friday during packet pickup, and anybody is welcome to join, and I am super excited for it. So that's why I started packing already, because we're going to have games, and I get to host.
Whatever.
It's going to be awesome. All I'm going to say is that if you're going to participate, might want to work on your mall walk.
Yeah, I tried that. It didn't turn out good.
It didn't turn out good for anyone because we had to watch.
Yeah. Technical difficulties. All right. Anyway, Eastern States is a huge race up here in my backyard-ish, which happens next weekend, 100 miles traversing the Pine Creek Valley. It's going to be incredible. The weather is not going to affect it. The weather's not going to affect the crew and runners. It's going to be a super happy, fun time. But an even bigger race just happened out west called the Ouray 100. Yeah. It is 40,000 feet plus of elevation gain in 100 miles, which you won't find anything else pretty much even comparable in the United States, as far as 100-mile races go. So it's a big one. And we have our guest on tonight just completed it. And she also completed a bunch of other things. So, Grace, can we just bring her on?
Yeah, let's bring on Samantha. And I am super excited to finally have you on the show because every time you do something amazing, Western States, Cruel Jewel, I'm like, have her on someday, and you keep doing awesome stuff.
Welcome, Samantha.
Thank you. Thanks. Good to be here.
Yeah. Well, you started the list, Grace. She's done Ouray now. She's done Cruel Jewel. She's done Run Rabbit Run. She's done Western States, Rim the River, Hellbender. They're all 100 milers. I mean, yeah.
And she's come to do Slopeside Slumber Party, my race, which you have not come to do yet. So already, you're in my heart.
Whatever. These are big races. These are incredible. And she signed up for Cocodona 250 and the Bear 100, which is later this year. And all those races were from 2023 to now. Holy crap. So there's a lot of other stuff mingled in there in her cute little ultra sign up resume.
Yeah.
But those are a lot of the big ones. There's other big ones in there. Why? Like how? And like after we talk about Ure, I do want to get into talking about like you.
Okay.
Like how you do it, how you manage it, how you train, that kind of thing. So don't let me finish this show or Grace finish this show without us talking about that. But anyway, congrats.
It is Ure.
Ure. There's a third way to pronounce it.
But I was saying Ure before too until I talked to people in Colorado and they, you know, fixed it and said.
Well, I know. And I did the same thing. I went there. I ran the race several years ago, but I went there and realized I was an idiot and saying it wrong the whole time. And then I came home and it just went back to the way I was saying it.
Oh, yeah. You see the O, you want to say Ure. Yeah.
I'm representing, by the way. See?
Oh, beautiful. Love
nice.
It.
I don't know what their shirts look like now. I know the buckles have gotten their cool factor went up a little bit on the buckles, even though my buckle is like gigantic. But yeah, I mean, this is a very hard mountain race. There's no real other words to describe it. How was your experience overall?
Terrifying is how I went into this race. And I know you know well Bob Bauer. I talked to Bob last year when I had gotten into Western States. He had signed up for Ure, and I thought, I have no idea what that race is. You know, put it on the back burner and did my races last year. When I was looking for races this year, I thought, oh, I know someone who ran that race. It must not be that bad. And also, you know, now that I have Western States underneath my belt, it's no longer a focus for me. My focus is now Hard Rock. And so Hard Rock, obviously very hard to get into as well. Why not try to do a race that's similar to Hard Rock and sign up for Ure? Except when I signed up, someone was like, you know, that's harder than Hard Rock, right? I was like, no, I had no idea. if I know someone here locally that ran it, then, you know, it can't be that bad. Oh, yeah. They're like, why the hell did you sign up for that? Well, I think now finishing Ure, I should be able to finish Hard Rock, right? I mean, that's the focus. That's my direction. And so I'm just going to keep trying to run qualifiers to eventually get there. So that's the why.
Gotcha. And how about like what did you have a goal for this or was it just a finish and how did you end up compared to what you had set for yourself?
Well, as an East Coast person, I know it was going to be hard to really simulate that type of climbing. I wasn't going to be going to Colorado every weekend. You know, I was told just make sure that I do vert in everything that I do. And so that's what I did. I started out my season as a skier skinning. Up and down the local mountain here. That's all I did was up and down and snowshoeing. So I was getting that vert every week. And then I just changed that training into doing vert every week. You know, there's a local hill that I go to at Boyd's and I'm just up and down that power line as many times as I can during the week. And then trying to do the same thing over at Colonel Denning. Those are the sharpest climbs that I can get in this area and just, I mean, I knew that this was a race too, that I wasn't going to be able to just run up the mountains, that if I could get a really hard power hike down, not slow down, keep going, then I was going to be able to tackle this because that's what you're doing in these races. You're not running, you know, the majority of these really hard climbs. You're power hiking as fast as you can at the top.
Yeah.
And besides crying at one point, thinking, what the heck? What did I get myself into? Because in the beginning, I was running what I could run as much as I could. I was like fifth woman. I was feeling really good. And, you know, there's a lot of dog legs. So you'd go out and you'd see those people coming behind you. They looked winded. And I was like, okay, I'm good. You know, by the third climb, all these climbs, you know, your switchbacks and you're like, we're almost there. You get to the end of another switchback and you're looking and you have five more But when you get to that fifth one, you have five more. It was just like, this is not going to end. And the air is getting thinner. A couple mm-hmm. times I thought I got to the top and I'm like, I'm going to throw up.
Did you?
I did on the very last climb, Bridge of Heaven. I got all the way at the top. We were like, I was fighting cutoffs because I didn't sleep. My second night, I got really slow. I was sleepy walking through my poor pacer because I stopped him and I was like, what is the goal here? Like, I thought we were just walking circles. You know,
it's a thing. I'm telling you, this is a thing that your brain does when you lose the marbles. That exact thing happens. Like, it wonders what the heck we're doing.
I don't know how I would have gotten through that one section without someone leading me. And I equate it to the movie Everest. Have you ever seen the movie Everest? One mm-hmm. of the best movies out there.
Yeah.
Where at the end, that one guy they stood at the top of the mountain with too long, right? He just falls off the mountain at that one point in the movie and mm-hmm. there's down, nothing. That would have been me up there at Chief Ure Mine. I would have just been gone. Like, it was just total darkness, steep. I could have slipped, gone. No one would have even known I was missing. So how I didn't fall and trip and fall off the mountain, I have no idea. It was just amazing.
Yeah, I did that last climb in the dark. You did the last climb in the dark, it sounds like.
That Chief Ure Mine was in the dark. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I should have slept. I should have had maybe a little bit more caffeine. You know, I got really slow and delirious. I didn't. And then once we got to the top and the crew said, you have an hour and 45 minutes to get back here before cutoff. I was like, oh, yeah, the adrenaline kicked up. We have to get down there now. Like, I was actually kind of ticked that we were up there and still so far down. I mean, still so far to get down.
Yeah.
So we booked our way down. I had 20 minutes then to leave that final aid station to get them to get up to Bridge of Heaven. And, you know, my pacer and I, she's with it. I'm barely with it. She is calculating in her head, like, what kind of mileage time we have to do each mile to get up to the top. And we booked it. We got to the top in plenty of time. I did puke at the top. And then we could take our time on the way back because I was no longer up against, you know, getting back in time. So 51 hours, 16 minutes. I had 44 minutes extra.
That's a long time to go without sleep.
Whew, yeah. I've never. So I don't know if you read my race report. Someone asked me why am I allowed to say hell? Because I'm saying it.
Yeah.
Okay. They're like, why the hell did you sign up for Cruel Jewel and Ure in the same year? Obviously with 33,041 feet of climbing. I don't think I could have done Ure without Cruel Jewel. I needed to know what my body was going to do in 40 hours. It was 39 something that I finished that one. And then try to push that envelope another 10 hours. You know, that was still like, I know now if I were going to do a race that long again, I would need some sleep. Some sleep would make me faster in the long run.
Right.
If I had just given my brain some time to rest, but I was too worried that I was going to be too close to a cutoff and not make it in. So I didn't, but both races, amazing. I would say Cruel Jewel. I mean, it's a green tunnel, but Cruel Jewel is one amazing race as well.
So the two of those races, it's just incredibly impressive. These are races that are not even on my bucket list because they're too difficult to be on my bucket list. It's crazy impressive you did them both, especially so close together and shortly after Western States. Western States obviously more runnable, but still.
Yeah. Western States.
How do you feel now?
My body recovered really well. I think my training was on par, you know, within a day. I didn't have really any soreness. My brain is still very foggy. I can tell I'm, you know, still very tired. I haven't really given myself a ton of time to rest since I've been back.
Yeah.
As an instructor, I've taught 7 classes since I've been back. And so wow. I take some time too. And I just, you know, I feel like I need to decompress a little bit yet, but I still have another race, you know, coming up in September. So really looking at the Bear as being more of a fun race than the other two. So I'm just looking out to go out there and have fun in Utah.
That's awesome. Why don't you give your crew, whoever was out there with you, a shout out?
Yes, I had an amazing crew. They've been with me for a lot of my big races. Adrienne, she's my crew lead. She was at what we called the Sam Slam last year because I had 400 milers, and most of these people were with me last year when I did my 4. So Adrienne Mitford, she's my amazing crew lead. And then my husband, I should definitely give him credit because, you know, not only does he let me do these things, but he also comes out and he paces. He paced me, for 2 segments at URA. And one of the ones was that, Twin Peaks. I don't know if you remember that, Eric, where it's just like those 300 logs going all the way up, sketchy. And you have to like hands and knees all the way up to the very top to get your bib punch. Like, I'm like, I don't think I'm going to be able to get down here. He's the only one that I can scream at and say, help me get down. So God bless him. He, you know, was there. And then I had 2 more pacers, Danny Kepner and Scott Whiskeyman, who, you know, both Danny's paced me many, many races. And this was Scott's first time coming out for a race like this. So I was really impressed and loved having him on the team. His wife was out, Lindsay, and then my daughter came out too. She did not pace me. She paced me at Western States, but I didn't want her falling off the mountain, so she did not pace me.
Yeah. Good call.
So, yeah. All good.
Yeah. I think what is it? 3rd climb you're talking about, where you said you all felt like you were going to puke. Isn't that like one of the highest climbs or the highest climb elevation?
It is. It's like it's called Fort Peabody, I think it's called. It's 13.6. Yeah, it's the highest one.
Yeah, that was the first time. I don't feel like elevation affects me a whole ton of a lot, but that when I got up to the top there, it's early in the race, and the feeling I had, I was like, I'm not feeling this way because I'm 100 miles into a race. It's affecting me.
I was sucking wind at that point.
So I didn't really follow it all during the weekend or during the race. What was the weather out there? Can be beyond unpredictable as far as thunderstorms roll in the snap of your finger. What did you have any fun with them or not?
No, we got really lucky. It was somewhat mild of a year. There were some thunderstorms and lightning rolling in, and then it went out before it actually went over us. So that did not hit us. And then we had a couple times where there was overcast and we were out on those really open areas where the sun could have really beat down on us. So I think that the mildness and what they were saying too, the race director was saying that they had a higher finish rate because it wasn't anything crazy this year. Mm-hmm. And high finishing rate, it's still 55% of the field DNFing.
Yeah.
So there's that. And they had actually more people out running it this year. I think last year was like 140 some. And they invited 170. So they had another group of people that they invited later. So, but yeah, 55%, that's a lot, more than half.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I feel fortunate that I hung in there.
The year I did it, the 8 miles that you do a loop in and then you go back and do it backwards. I forget what the name of that is or what.
Iron Pin. Yeah, the Iron Pin loop.
But when I was on the first 8 mile loop is when it was in the evening or afternoon and thunderstorms rolled in, and it was probably a couple of hours worth of storming, but there was actually, it was just downpouring on us, but like, there was rock slides coming across the trail.
Yeah.
It was like the stuff you hear about on TV with the flash flooding and stuff. But like there are spots where the trail was gone because there's just a pile of rocks there.
Yeah.
It's happening as you're, I watched it happen. It's quite crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, there was so much loose rock that if that had been a flash flood, that would have all been mud and all running down. I imagine it probably would have been pretty scary, but we were lucky.
Yeah. Lucky.
Now, Chris Young asked in the chat, did you rely on nutrition given to you from your crew, or did you rely on aid stations, a little mix of both? What was your plan and how did it turn out?
So I look at the hours for each aid station and I carry the amount of gels that I would need for each hour. And then I can supplement that with aid stations food, which after a while I like the regular food from aid stations over the gels. The problem is that we were at elevation and higher with altitude, and I didn't want food after a while. Mm. It was really hard. I even had carb drinks and I said, I don't want it. I was drinking Coke and, you know, any little bit that they could give me. And you know what? I really like it's go-go squeezes that apple and the cinnamon that calmed my stomach.
Mm-hmm.
So my carb intake was super low just because I didn't want anything.
Mm-hmm.
However, when I got to Crystal Lake aid station had lasagna, and for some reason I wanted that. So my team after that called me the lasagna queen, because then they went out and they got me more and I was still eating. For whatever reason, lasagna was the thing that I wanted and my stomach agreed with. So
that's great.
But yeah, if I could stick to that whole, and I've tried this in every race to stick with that gel, every hour or whatever, but that always falls off. I never want that 100% of the time.
Yeah. Well, at least you were still eating, even if it wasn't what you had planned on, you're still eating something.
Yeah. And drinking and trying to, that carb drink, because I'll go between the scratch high carb and the G1, the BPN G1. I really like that too. Anything that has some kind of carb in so that you're hydrating too and getting some calories is really the best thing that I've found that works.
What's your go-to fuel for gels?
The Martin gels, just because they're pretty mild. Mm. And then you have the bland regular, and then there's a caffeine too.
Yeah, they're terrible because they're great and they're so expensive.
Aren't they all?
Yeah. I feel like Morton's just on another level of expensiveness, but they're so, like, they go down so easy.
They
so you don't have to think about it.
Jello, it hardly tastes like anything. Yeah.
Yeah. Two slurps and it's gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're going to take all my money.
I have been doing ketones as well. Ketones really help me with Cruel Jewel, with staying alert. And there's a caffeine version too. I would swear by it. Nice. I think it really worked well. So I was taking that on a regular basis too.
Mm. Cool. What else do I got? What do you got, Grace? Anything?
No, I'm good. Can we go back in time? Can we go back in time? How in the world did you get into this crazy sport?
Ah, man. Well, I used to race my bike in my 20s. I was a road racer. And then I moved over to the dark side, is what most people would say, and did duathlons for a while and ran marathons. But it wasn't until 2019 that I thought, ultras might be kind of fun, because I was sort of in that mix of people. I ran my first ultra in Fruta, Colorado. That was my first ultra, which is the 50K. Huh. Loved it. And then I paced Moab. And if you've not paced a 200 miler as an ultra, pre-ultra runner, I was scared to death, but it was the most amazing experience that I've ever had. Not having to pay the expenses and be with someone who was going through this, I was just like, oh, I want to do that too. I haven't ventured to the 200s, but man, it was such a great experience. And then, Yeti 100 was my first 100. I wanted something flat. Mm-hmm. Jason Green is a Grace race director. Really appreciated that whole group. And then it just spiraled from there, you know, rim to river. And then now it's like a couple hundreds a year. So, and I never thought Hard Rock would be like the goal, but now it's the goal. And UTMB would really be really cool too. It's just that, mm-hmm. you know, it's so hard to get into.
Yeah.
But I just want to see the country. I think that's really what excites me over hundreds and eventually 200s. People are saying that 200s are eventually going to be on my list. We'll see. But I just love seeing the country more, you know, in ways that other people don't see it. Mm-hmm. So ultras are the way to do it.
No, I agree 100% with you. Not only are you seeing all the stuff out in the country, but you're seeing it at a totally different viewpoint than your typical tourist, which I like that fact. And you're seeing stuff that most humans can't even think about getting up to or seeing from that point of view.
Oh, yeah.
Something special about it. I don't know, but that's one reason I like to go to destination races and do them.
Yep. Now you can, you know, you got to convince your family that the runcation is the vacation that you're going to have.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
So far, so good.
Yeah, that's great. Do you have a favorite race that you've done so far?
Well, I mean, everyone should do Western States. I mean, I went into that. I wasn't going for a time. I just wanted everyone who was with me to experience the magic of Western States, you know, with me. So I finished in the golden hour and we just had a blast, you know, with all the elite runners and that iconic course. It was just amazing. So, I mean, you would think everyone would say Western States. It definitely was a good race. Rim to River was an amazing race. I thought the race director there down in West Virginia, they called it boutique. The Western people called it boutique 100 miler. I don't know. It's because it's a small group, maybe. Mm-hmm. But it was really well run. And I loved that course. So I don't know. I there isn't one race that I really, you know, can say I didn't really like. Will I do any of these again? I'm kind of a one and done girl. I don't need to do Eureka again. You sure I'm done with that? Would I do Western States? Maybe, you know, because if I had a ticket, I'd maybe do it again. It'd probably be the only one. But I want to just keep doing them until I run out of races, I guess.
That's great.
Has Bob Bauer tried to talk you into Crazy Mountain yet?
Yes, and actually, it's funny.
That's a really good race that I feel like kind of flies under the radar as far as like people talking about it and chatter and stuff. And it is growing. Don't get me wrong; they're doing a great job. But I mean, that's every bit as beautiful as everything you're talking about.
So I saw what's his name, Andrew Glaze. Do you see him? He's
I know who you're talking about, but did he run it?
He just ran it, and much crazier weather this year because I think it was last weekend. That Crazy Mountain ones. It's on my radar. Because it wasn't a lottery or anything, was it?
Not yet. No.
Yeah. So it's an easy one, right? The lotteries are getting harder and harder. The Bear that I'm running in September is now going to be a lottery next year.
Wow.
I just got in within like 10 minutes to sign up for that one. So that would just become a harder one to get into. So
I feel like I want to just send you ideas for races of races that I will never be able to complete, but you can complete them. You can write a race report. I will read it and that will make me feel better.
Let's do it because there's lots of races out there that I feel like I still don't know about, you know?
Yeah. I like this plan. Well, I think Hurt has always been just come
what
on.
What about Bighorn? Isn't that a good one?
Bighorn, High Lonesome. That one just happened too. Last weekend, I think, or the weekend before.
Lottery though. That one's hard.
Is it?
Yeah.
Wow. But I think they have a 50-50 split for gender. So I think it's a little bit easier to get into as a female.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Yeah.
So tell us about your training a little bit. As far as this race and everything you do? I mean, is it pretty consistent? How do you do it? How do you find time to do it? Mm-hmm. You know, everybody's different. Everybody has different kinds of jobs or ways of living and stuff. But I'm always curious to know how you fit it in. It's obviously running, ultra running is obviously a passion of yours, like it is for all of us probably tuning in. But life does get in the way. I mean, how do you make it work?
It does get in the way sometimes. So my first 100 miler, the Yeti, I had a coach for that. And he kind of gave me the template of what I needed to get done to run 100 miler. So, I wasn't coached after that, but I've always used that as my basis, especially for the large mileage weeks leading up to a major race. I fitted around life, right? Obviously I teach a lot of classes. I have a full-time job. I have a family. So trying to get all of that fit in can sometimes be hard. But I think that all the classes that I teach, the yoga, the Pilates, a perfect key into making sure that I stay not injured for running, right? So I don't feel bad about making that part of the time and maybe backing off on some of the mileage. I would say leading up, I'm anywhere from 50 to 60 miles a week towards closer to a race. But I don't think that I'm a high mileage runner. If you were to match me up to other 100 mile runners, I'm on the lower side, because I think as I get older and, putting a lot of miles on, I don't need it. My body breaks down faster. So I'm better at the quality stuff, training, high mileage on the weekends, 30 miles, and then a 20 mile backed up closer to a race is much better than me trying to slam out 100 mile each week, you know? And I just do it based off of feel anymore, because I've done this now a couple years where I've backed up a couple 100 milers. Leading it up then into my next 100 miler, I don't need to bust myself because I've just done two amazingly hard races. All I have to do is keep running, at a maybe 40 to 50 mile. I'm going to give myself probably another week before I start running. And then my body's going to know what to do for the next one. So I don't know. It's not very definitive answer for you, but again, no. I do it on feel. Match it up with running with other people, and then try to match what I'm trying to race. Like Uray, I did a lot of climbing, right? Vert, like I said, was my sole focus. Now leading into the Bear, I'm going to try to run a little bit more, and I don't have to focus on the vert quite as much. So,
right. No, that's all a very good answer. And that's why I asked it and want to hear it, because you have people that are very science-based and, want to hit their certain mileages in the training block and have a nice steady rise in their mileage and doing their speed work and hill work and all the good stuff that we all wish we had time to do. But, you sitting here with the resume you have, finishing the races that you have and saying how you do it is every bit as good. It gives people belief that they can make it happen too,
Yeah, absolutely.
I think there's so many different ways to get to the same finish line. Mm-hmm. And it's great to hear just another way of doing that. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna ask a question that's come through the chat in just a minute, but real quick before I do that, do you do anything in particular to focus on rest and recovery because you do so much vertical gain?
I think we're all sort of guilty of not always resting. Me too. I always like to say
that's okay.
My yoga classes are like an active recovery. I do. Yeah. Days that I do not run. So Mondays today is and do not run day. Mm-hmm. And then closer to a race, Fridays are going to be a run day, but a lot of times they're an off day too. So I'm very sacred on the days that I don't run, just mentally, physically, just need to take, I'm not a 7 day a week runner. I would just run myself down into the ground. Mm-hmm. But I do believe keep moving every day of the week. There's not one day that I don't do something. And it's worked for me. And again, it's mm-hmm. whatever works for you, right? So just because yes. that works for me doesn't mean it works for someone else. But I kind of feel like I found that key for my body of what works. So
I love that. That's great. And I decided not to run today. So that makes
sense. Yeah.
So now Becky Kosek, the amazing, beautiful, fabulous Becky Kosek. She asked in the chat, do you train mostly alone or do you have running partners?
Good question. I like to travel by myself. I mean, to train by myself. And I think that's because I have goals, right? There's certain things that I want to get done in a run. And so sometimes it's easier, especially when you have a busy schedule and family and people you're trying to get a place to place. It's just easier sometimes to do it by yourself. But I do appreciate running with people too, because I can get so much more feedback, talking things out. I have a couple people that I've, trained with who have coaching backgrounds and stuff that I can bounce some things off of. And then I can also measure where I'm at too when I run with other people. You know, if I'm running with someone who's faster than me, or I think that's at the same level, how am I feeling compared to them? And I think that's really good information as well. Kind of comparing myself.
Running with somebody that you might feel like is a little better definitely keeps you honest when you're trying to stay with them and all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. No, there's something to be said with running with faster people, right? Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good stuff. So next is the bear, right?
Yes.
When is that one?
September 26th, it's running from Logan, Utah, all the way to the Bear Lake in Idaho. So stepping my foot into Idaho, I'm so excited. Cool. And what's cool about that is that almost all the people are from Utah or, from the West. And there's only like a handful of us from the East Coast. So that always makes me laugh too.
Yeah.
Where our imposters are in the mix.
I think it's amazing that you've been so successful out west, coming training on the East Coast, and it's pretty cool. Very good person to represent the East Coast. So thanks for doing that.
It just proves that we can do it, right? I mean, we have the perfect training ground. I think Pennsylvania is just as hard. We just have to do it a little differently.
Mm-hmm.
And it's freaking humidity. Let me tell you, I would rather run Uray again than Eastern States with the humidity. It's just a killer. It is really, really hard here. So just have to, whatever, West Coast, we got hard races here too.
Yeah.
Right now it's stupid here.
It is.
So hard.
All right. Ready to wrap it up, Grace?
Yeah.
All right, well, then wrap it up, Grace.
Samantha, what are your plans this weekend?
I am still resting. I am happily not, what I've been told in my training when I was being coached, 2 weeks after, you need 2 weeks of just resting your brain. And so that's what I'm doing for sure.
That's fabulous. Eric, what are you doing this weekend?
I don't know, running something.
Okay. Fair.
Nothing crazy. What about you?
I've got nothing scheduled yet. So the weekend is my oyster. I don't know what's going to come out of it yet.
Yeah. I'm mentally preparing for next weekend. It's going to be extremely fast and long and fun and stressful at the same time. But yeah, it'll be good stuff up at East.
I'm T-minus like 2-ish weeks away from Slopeside, and I'm not going to get anything done Eastern States weekend. So the weekend after is my race. Right. So I pretty much have this weekend to pack and get everything done, last minute stuff done. Last weekend, this past Saturday, I finally found my laundry from camp. So like these few weeks are just cleaning from one event and then packing for the next event. I think I pretty much have everything ordered, but I need to send out a lot of communications and stuff like that for Slopeside. Still get some people registered, and then right after that is Baker. So then my next three weekends after this are one after another. So I'm going to spend this weekend preparing for the next three weekends.
No, that was a long answer.
You know, don't ask me questions if you don't want a real answer.
Whatever. Sam, why haven't you done Eastern States yet?
Because it's so hard. Oh, okay. Do you know what my trail name is?
Huh.
My trail name is Chafe. And when I sweat that bad, my skin rubs off. And so, so hard.
Interesting.
Yeah, so maybe one of these days.
Well, I'm sure it's going to happen. It's just a matter of when.
Yep.
Huh. Yeah.
You just have to do it in pants.
Pants.
Oh, I couldn't imagine. That's the way to avoid all the stinging nettle. Just don't wear shorts. Wear pants.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much for letting us have your time and talking about U-Ray, whatever it is. U-Ray. It's a hard race. It's an amazing race. I'm glad there's other people out there that did it that I can talk to about it, because it's a pretty special race.
It's special.
And we look forward to following you with all this other awesome stuff you're about to do. Keep kicking butt and crossing them off your list.
Yep, I will. Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Yep. All right, Grace, take us out. Tell all the people and force them to tune in and stuff.
I hereby force you to tune in every week, Mondays, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And also, you have the authority to force all of your friends to also tune in and like things and share things and comment on all the things. And then we'll all be happy. And Eric will also be happy, and he will smile for the first time in his life.
Yes. Next week, we already said at the beginning of the show, it is Eastern States pregame show. Ooh, maybe we'll have on a special guest or two to talk about all the fun shenanigans that are about to happen, but maybe I'll just sit here and make fun of Grace. I don't know. We never know.
It's every week we get to look forward to that, especially me.
All right. Well, Samantha, enjoy the rest of your recovery. Get back to it. And Grace, I don't care what you do. See you next week on Monday.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.